Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is For the Record program number 673, Nancy Pelosi, Borman Democrat? This program is being recorded on May 24th, 2009. This is Memorial Day weekend, so to all of the men and women in uniform, past and present, I salute you. And in fact, I'm doing my own bit right now, and have been for all of the 30 years or so I've been on the air, to carry on the struggle. What we're going to be talking about in this broadcast, and for background, please use the website spitfirelist.com, a cornucopia of anti-fascist information, and the best source by far for that kind of information on this earth. We are going to be taking a look in an interrogatory fashion, and we're not going to be waterboarding the dear woman, but we're going to be taking a look at an interrogatory, or in an interrogatory mode, at Nancy Pelosi, the House Speaker. In For the Record program 660, portions of which I will reprint in the description for this broadcast, we took a look at the relationship between the Getty family, including Patriarch John Paul Getty, who was not only an extremely wealthy independent oil man, but was also a supporter of Adolf Hitler and was plotting to ship oil to the Third Reich. His descendants, including Gordon Getty, his son, have maintained a relationship with Otto von Bolschwing, an SS officer who for a time was Adolf Eichmann's superior in administering so-called Jewish matters for the SS in World War II. Otto von Bolschwing then jumped to the Central Intelligence Agency, became a key Galen operative, and Otto von Bolschwing had a protege, a woman named Helena von Damm, who selected all of the lists from which the personnel that staffed the Reagan administrations were selected. And those people have moved on up. Many of the so-called neocons, far from being Jewish, are actually von Damm slash von Bolschwing spawn, so to speak. And I'm going to read, time permitting, the entire November 20th, 1981 San Jose Mercury News article about von Bolschwing into the record. I played a very small role in breaking the original story, and the article is read into the record in its entirety in AFA program number 3, which, like all of my past work, is now available for download for free. My entire oeuvre over roughly 30 years is now available at spitfirelist.com for download for free. So please use it. Now, as discussed in For the Record program 660, there are strong relationships between the Pelosi family and the Newsom family, and Justice William Newsom, it was a close personal friend of and business partner of Otto von Bolschwing. Justice Newsom's son, Gavin, is currently mayor of San Francisco, is now a candidate or will be a candidate for governor of California. And again, in For the Record 660, portions of which will be reprinted in the description for this broadcast, that relationship is set forth at length and in detail. Note also that Karl Rove's father was a corporate geologist for Getty Oil. What we are going to be looking at in this broadcast, and again, we're going to be regarding Ms. Pelosi in an interrogatory mode, sans waterboarding under the circumstances, we're going to be taking a look at Nancy Pelosi as a possible Borman Democrat, that is to say, a Democrat who is working for the Underground Reich, literally a Third Reich that went underground and has perpetuated itself in mafia-like fashion using its tremendous economic power and connections with political establishments and corporate establishments around the world. Basically, it's a derivative, an outgrowth of the international cartel system, which, you know, granted, is redundant. We're going to be taking a look at Nancy Pelosi as a possible Borman Democrat, and as I warned in For the Record 660, watch Pelosi, watch her very closely, watch her subtly undermine Barack Obama, and in particular, watch her undermine Obama from the left, okay? Again, as is so often the case, this program is what I call food for thought and grounds for further research. So let's begin thinking about an article that was printed in the San Francisco Chronicle on Saturday, May 16th of 2009. This is an article by Carolyn Lockheed. It's headlined, Pelosi's Woes May Hit Obama. Subtitled, GOP Could Use Controversy to Blunt Her Leadership on Health Agenda. It's Dateline Washington, and it reads in part as follows. The fear over House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's accusations against the Central Intelligence Agency serves a purpose beyond finding out how the United States came to embrace torture. The San Francisco Democrat, deeply partisan and often ridiculed, offers Republicans their best shot yet at blocking a popular president whose poll numbers have so far defied gravity. The uproar comes just as President Obama is heading into a transformative fight over health care with Pelosi as his chief lieutenant. It also finds Obama suddenly playing defense on terror issues, reversing himself on releasing detainee photos, and on ending military commissions, even as his CIA director, Leon Panetta, sought to calm enraged employees. Ironically, the controversy has come down to a credibility test pitting Pelosi, whose modus operandi has never been known to include lying, against the Central Intelligence Agency, an institution deeply damaged by the use of flawed intelligence to invade Iraq, and now on the defensive for its use of torture. Certainly don't hold a brief for torture. I do think that Obama made the right decision in two different instances. I don't agree with everything he's done. I also think, as I've said before, I think he had an impossible job going in. Two wars, a depression, and just a thoroughly debased society to attempt to govern. But I think he, considering that what he was charged with doing is impossible, I think he's doing a reasonably good job. I agree with not releasing the photos of detainees being abused. It's well known at this point, and I think it would indeed just serve to pour more gasoline on the fire, so to speak, and ultimately get people killed. First, probably American service personnel that are serving in harm's way. Ultimately, probably a lot of other people, including perhaps some members of the listening audience. Also, given the fact, as badly flawed as it is, and the CIA is badly flawed and was fundamentally flawed from its inception, the Galen organization, people like Citizen von Bolschfing and others exemplifying just the magnitude and depth of those flaws, it is among the institutions that is going to have to weigh in effectively if we're to avoid a catastrophe. I also think Leon Panetta was a pretty intelligent choice to head up the agency, and it remains to be seen if he's ever able to effect any real reforms. I think the CIA in and of itself is in a state of relative eclipse, not just because of its manifest malfeasance, but also, frankly, it's just one of many intelligence services in this country, and in turn, intelligence functions have largely been privatized. But watch Nancy Pelosi. See Nancy undermine Obama from the left. Is Nancy a Borman Democrat? More food for thought. This from the San Francisco Chronicle of Thursday, February 5th of 2009. This is an article by Carla Marinucci of the San Francisco Chronicle. Heats on Pelosi in stimulus battle, and it reads in part, "The drama over President Obama's pricey stimulus packages put House Speaker Nancy Pelosi at center stage, and when the curtain comes down on the final plan, the reviews may come to this. Did she play the uniter or the divider?" Pelosi, who has consistently talked about working across the aisle, led the charge last week as the initial $819 billion version of the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act emerged from the House, approved without a single Republican vote. Republicans managed what some had thought impossible, a show of unity and steely resistance to the Speaker, little more than a week after the popular Democratic president took the oath of office. Fired up by a Rush Limbaugh-led charge against what they called a Pelosi-Reid pork-laden package, GOP leaders took to the airwaves and the blogs to lambaste items such as $355 million in funding for education against sexually transmitted diseases and a makeover of the National Mall. They talked up the need for more tax relief, which they said would bolster the economy, and howled that they were shut out of the process. Quote, "The Republicans, who seemed so lost and so in disarray, all of a sudden grasped the upper hand," unquote, said Hoover Institution research fellow Bill Whalen. Again quoting, "They've managed to change the focus from what the package will do to what's in the package, waste and pork." With new Gallup polls showing that only 38% of Americans support the plan without major changes, and nearly 80% believe the current plan will not stimulate the economy enough, it now appears the president, quote, "is slowly losing the high ground on this," he said. I would add, I think that the Republicans They've got a long way to go. And when we're talking about Republicans versus Democrats, never lose sight of the fact that basically the people staffing the Republican Party in key areas are von Bolschwing / von Dahm proteges, and that in turn dates back to the Crusade for Freedom, the importation of Nazi war criminals, and Nazi geopolitical theory. They went on to become a key element of the Republican Party, that is to say, these Nazi imports. The key people involved were the Allen Dulles' protege, Richard Nixon. Its chief spokesperson was Ronald Reagan, the fellow who handled the State Department machinations to bring these monsters into the country and glom them onto the Republican Party was William Casey. Ronald Reagan, the campaign manager for Reagan-Bush in 1980, later Reagan's CIA director. That Nazi contingent of the Republican Party was installed as a permanent branch. Previously, it had coalesced during presidential election years only. It was installed as a permanent branch of the Republican Party when George H.W. Bush I, was chairman of the Republican National Committee. So never lose sight of who the benefits are, who the beneficiaries are of Pelosi's perhaps well-intentioned, perhaps deliberately subversive agitprop here. And again, see Nancy undermine Barack Obama from the left. Continuing here with this article, Speaker Pelosi lost round one in the message war, agrees GOP strategist Patrick Dorenson. She misread the election results. They were overwhelming for Barack Obama, but Congress is still languishing with a 27% approval rating. He said that Pelosi appeared to take Obama's approval as a signal her party, quote, could make a grab bag of Democratic wish lists, unquote, and add them to the package, he said. Republicans rightly pointed out the hypocrisy, unquote. The message that is getting out there is that you can put the label stimulus on anything you want, but the devil is in the details, unquote, said John Fleischman, publisher of the popular FlashReport.org GOP website. Again, quoting, with Republicans unanimously opposing the plan, it made everyone step back and say, what was so egregious that you couldn't get one Republican on board, unquote. And now, thanks to Pelosi, again quoting, the president is off to a rough start, said GOP strategist Rob Stutzman. He said Republicans used a classic playbook, respectfully disagreeing with Pelosi's messaging, and then, quote, getting the speaker to defend contraceptives, unquote. Well, slight editorialization on my part, contraceptives is what the parents of most seated Republican politicians should have used. And, of course, when it comes to hypocrisy, the Republicans have minted the coin, including Gruppenfuhrer Limbaugh himself. As I've said in the past, the most intelligent comment I've ever seen about Rush Limbaugh was by comedian Mark Russell, who was comparing Limbaugh to the Hindenburg, but concluded in the end that it was inappropriate to compare a flaming Nazi gas bag to a magnificent airship. And, again, talking about hypocrisy, Limbaugh's who, by the way, attacked yours truly in 1995 on his radio show. But Limbaugh has been inveighing against all sorts of immorality, including very frequently drug abuse. And then it turns out he's hooked on OxyContin, which perhaps, if nothing else, does tell us how he got the name Rush. More now. Again, see Nancy undermine Barack Obama from the left. The following also from the San Francisco Chronicle, this from Thursday, February 5th of 2009, also by Carolyn Lockheed in Washington. Headline, GOP blames Pelosi for snag in stimulus bill. This reads in part, Senate Republicans blamed House Speaker Nancy Pelosi of San Francisco Wednesday for tripping up President Obama's $902 billion stimulus bill as the giant legislation remained in the Senate, hostage to GOP demands for more tax cuts and less spending. Parenthetically, as we're going to see in another article, and as many people, including Nobel Prize-winning economist Paul Krugman, have said, in all probability, a larger stimulus bill will be needed, though not necessarily one that is going to do all of the things that this one did, such as getting people like AIG or institutions like AIG and Goldman Sachs off the hook, although perhaps they are too big to fail, although as John Simon, former IMF economist, noted in For the Record 670, Top Banana Republic, if it's too big to fail, it probably shouldn't have existed in the first place. But again, from the Chronicle of 2005-2009, GOP blames Pelosi for snag and stimulus bill. Senate Republicans blamed House Speaker Nancy Pelosi of San Francisco Wednesday for tripping up President Obama's $902 billion stimulus bill as the giant legislation remained in the Senate, hostage to GOP demands for more tax cuts and less spending. Republicans won a major victory with unanimous approval of an amendment late Wednesday that would give home buyers a tax credit of up to $15,000 or 10% of the value of new or existing residences. Sponsor Senator Johnny Isaacson of Georgia said a similar credit in 1974 helped revive the housing market then. The amendment could add $19 billion to the bill's cost. Obama, after weeks of making overtures to Republicans, warned that, quote, a failure to act and act now will turn crisis into catastrophe, unquote. He said GOP criticisms, quote, echo the very same failed economic theories that led us into this crisis in the first place. The notion that tax cuts alone will solve all our problems, that we can ignore fundamental challenges like energy independence and the high cost of health care, unquote. Republicans have found new unity attacking the stimulus as a big spending bonanza that will do little to stimulate the economy. A House vote last week that failed to draw even one Republican vote and lost 11 conservative Democrats galvanized Senate Republicans, who touted new polls showing rising skepticism of the plan. Obama's intense wooing of the opposing party so far seems to have paid few dividends. His courting of his former rival John McCain, Republican of Arizona, has not stopped McCain from going to the Senate floor to attack whole sections of the stimulus bill as a giant earmark and vowing to vote against it. Quote, "No bill is better than this bill, or no bill is better than this bill, because it increases the deficit by over $1 trillion," unquote, McCain said. Republicans have trained most of their fire, however, on Pelosi, whose poll numbers are closer to their own than to Obama's. They say she jammed a Democratic wish list through the House without their consultation. Now why would the Democrats want to consult with the Republicans? And again, the Republican Party, in my considered opinion, is nothing but a front for the underground Reich. The Republican Party, as an institution, is treasonous with a capital T. They are working to undermine America. And if that seems a bit extreme, just take a look at For the Record Program 652, Palin by comparison. Their vice presidential candidate in the most recent presidential election, Sarah Palin, is a front for the Alaskan Independence Party, which is a subversive slash secession party, not only with links to Aryan Nations and other fascist political parties, but which specifically aims at breaking up the United States. They're traitors. They're secessionists. They are seditious. And so, one thing you do have to give the Republicans a lot of credit for, they have a lot of nerve. But then why shouldn't they? They never get held to account. Continuing with the analysis of Citizen Pelosi, quote, "The bill was written because Nancy Pelosi said she won," said Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican of South Carolina, a centrist on many issues who joined conservatives in knocking the legislation. Quote, "Well, I don't know if President Obama would agree that it was her winning or him, but I know that attitude is really not the way to solve America's problems, something this big." And it'll be interesting to see just how much of this continues to play out. One more article. Now, again, although I certainly don't agree with how some of the bailouts have been used, I tend to agree with the analysis presented by John Simon, that at this point, when you're this far down the tubes and when you have these huge institutions that have obviously failed in a fundamental way, you've got to do what the IMF would do with a smaller banana republic and has yet to do, of course, because with the, we are the top banana republic. The banks should be nationalized and their assets should be sold off in an intelligent fashion. On the other hand, who knows what would have happened then? One can just imagine the right-wing media attack machine and what they would have done with that. Would there, for example, have been an international financial panic, even beyond what we've seen so far? And just what sorts of guns, and I mean that quite literally, just might be trained on Barack Obama? One never wants to lose sight of the lessons of November 22nd, 1963, August 4th, 1968, the date Martin Luther King was killed, and June 5th, 1968, the day John Kennedy's brother Robert was assassinated as well. Now, most economists, for example, Paul Krugman of the New York Times and a Nobel Prize winner, have said that if we are to avoid, at the very least, a lost decade like Japan experienced in the 90s with a similar problem, or perhaps something even worse like a Great Depression or Greater Depression, then a larger stimulus would be needed, in the opinion of Paul Krugman, who is generally supportive of Obama and has had some good things to say about a number of Obama's principles, but has basically disagreed with him on the size of the bailout and some of its key administrative details. But many economists feel that the stimulus bill, whatever it does, the deficits have to be larger if we're to avoid a complete meltdown. And I also think, again, just the sheer nerve, the hubris of the Republicans to complain about deficits. My goodness. Just check out For the Record Program 412 and then For the Record Program 651 called The Engineer Intends to Wreck the Train, that from June of 2003, talking about the engineer being the Bush administration intending to sabotage the economy in order to force the axing of programs with which they disagree, such as Social Security. And then For the Record 651, yep, the engineer, the Bush administration, has bloody well wrecked the train. But in that context, in the context that it is very possible that more, a larger stimulus should have been done and that more may be required in the near future, look at the following. Again, see Nancy undermine Obama from the left. This, once again, from the San Francisco Chronicle. This from the San Francisco Chronicle of March 13th of 2009. This is a Washington Post story by Ben Pershing headlined, Pelosi Dashes Hopes for More Aid Soon. Again, this could cause Obama to fail. And if he fails on the economy, folks, watch out. This reads in part, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said Thursday that a second economic stimulus package is not in the cards, unquote, in the short term, disappointing those seeking another quick infusion of federal dollars into the struggling economy. Pelosi's statement came less than a month after President Obama signed the $787 billion stimulus measure into law, and on the same day the Obama administration warned state officials gathered in Washington that it would keep a close eye on how they spend the money allotted to them from that package. Pelosi had helped nudge the idea of another stimulus on Tuesday when she said the Congress should, quote, keep the door open, unquote, to the possibility. And House Appropriations Chairman David Obie, Democrat of Wisconsin, said this week he would begin, quote, preparing operations for a second stimulus, unquote. But Democratic aides have cautioned strongly that another stimulus is not a serious possibility in the short term, and Pelosi said Thursday that she, quote, really would like to see the stimulus package play out, unquote, before contemplating another one. Quote, I don't think you ever close the door on being prepared for whatever eventually may come, Pelosi said at her weekly news conference, but emphasized that a second stimulus package is, quote, just not right now something that's in the cards, unquote. Some prominent economists have suggested that a second stimulus costing several hundred billion dollars might well be needed. Mark Zandi, the chief economist at MoodysEconomy.com, who has become a key advisor to House Democrats, said this week that policymakers need to do more. I don't think we're done. I think another stimulus package is a reasonable probability, given the way things are going, unquote. The Wall Street Journal's most recent forecasting survey, a poll of 49 economists, found that more than 40% of respondents thought a second large stimulus package remains necessary to boost the economy. Not yet, however, according to Nancy Pelosi, we will see what we will see. But watch Nancy. See Nancy undermine Obama from the left. Now, bearing in mind what we looked at in For the Record program number 660 about the connections between the Newsom family and the Pelosi family, I'm going to read as much into the record as I have time for of the original article about Otto von Bolschwing and his protege Helena von Dahm. The Mercury did not print all that might have been discussed here in that relationship. I actually played a small role in breaking this story. This entire article is available in the supplemental section of the SpitfireList.com website. This article is Ex-Nazi's Brilliant U.S. Career Strangled in a Web of Lies by Pete Carey. It was published by the San Jose Mercury News on Friday, November 20th of 1981, and it reads in part, for the past 10 years, Otto Albrecht von Bolschwing's carefully constructed life in America has been coming apart a piece at a time. He was president of a high-technology investment firm with headquarters in Sacramento and subsidiaries in Silicon Valley. It went bankrupt in a 1971 scandal. He was a doting husband until his ailing wife killed herself in 1978. He numbered among his business associates millionaires, bankers, and scientists. Then his brainstem was hit with a rare disease 2 years ago, sending him into isolation at a Carmichael rest home. He told his friends he'd worked for the Americans during and after World War II, but in May, the federal government began proceedings to deport him for lying about his Nazi past. In a widely publicized attempt to revoke von Bolschwing's citizenship, the Justice Department accused him of helping Hitler's persecution of European Jews and of being an associate of Adolf Eichmann, the architect of Germany's mass killing program. The disclosures came at the end of a long, improbable career that took von Bolschwing through the Nazi hierarchy into the CIA and finally to the highest levels of American business. The list of people he knew and some of whom he met him through a California high-technology business venture in 1970 reads like a list of who's who. They include Justice William A. Newsom of the First District Court of Appeals in San Francisco, parenthetically the father of San Francisco mayor and possible future California Governor Gavin Newsom, and the Newsoms and the Pelosis are in-laws. Continuing, Helena von Dahm, President Reagan's personal secretary, and what they don't mention here, she's more than his personal secretary. She was special White House executive for presidential personnel and drew up the lists from which all of his Reagan's presidential appointments were made. And goes on to some of the other people here. I'm nonplussed, Justice Newsom said. I thought, if anything, Otto had been pro-American during the war. As a businessman, von Bolschwing was vague about the war years. He said he'd been a Gestapo prisoner and had worked for the CIA in post-war Germany. And then skipping down, who was this ex-Nazi and how did he prosper in America? Von Bolschwing's attorney would not allow an interview. This account was developed from people who knew him, accounts of Nazi Germany, court records, and business files. And after some of his early history, he joined the SS, the elite secret police, and this is skipping down. He joined the SS, the elite secret police of the Nazis, 6 years later. According to the Justice Department, as an SS captain, he helped plan the expulsion of Jews from the German economy and developed anti-Jewish propaganda to force their emigration from Germany. In A History of the SS by Heinz Hunne, von Bolschwing is described as a, quote, party member, an SD, foreign intelligence informer, and an experienced salesman in the motor trade. In 1938, he was in contact with a group of Palestinian Germans who lined their pockets by certain extramural activities, unquote, according to Hunne, who wrote that von Bolschwing spied on the Nazi Haganah Army. Skipping down again. The war over, von Bolschwing made a move crucial to his future success. He became an American spy. He knocked on the door of U.S. Army intelligence, a source explained, and said, I'm experienced. I have a ring operating. If you give me a paycheck, I'll make you very happy, unquote. He was a sort of miniature Reinhard Galen. Galen was the Nazi general who helped the CIA build a spy network in post-war Eastern Europe, then became head of post-war German intelligence activities. According to one unconfirmed report, von Bolschwing became the controller of Galen's CIA operation after Galen returned to the German government. Quote, he must have done something right, unquote, the source said. And talking then about more of his key business contacts, skipping down again. In March of 1969, von Bolschwing got a job in high technology. He was retained as an international business consultant by TCI, the defense firm. And then the article goes on to discuss his relationship with the Gettys. J. Paul Getty Jr. was one of TCI's directors. And again, Justice William Newsom. And also here, records with TCI officials indicate that Helena von Dahm, President Reagan's Austrian-born deputy assistant, translated some German contracts for TCI and invested $1,000 in it while she was then Governor Reagan's secretary in Sacramento. Von Dahm was too busy to talk about von Bolschwing, but through her White House secretary, said she knew him socially in Sacramento many years ago. And again, there's far more to that relationship than that. However, that's all we have time to talk about. This concludes For the Record program number 673. Nancy Pelosi, Mormon Democrat, ? This is being recorded on May 24th of 2009. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.